It's time for Retro Talk with Retro Rose here on
WXPM
on 98.5
FM.
On this very night, 10 years ago, along the same stretch of road, in a dense fog just like this, I saw the worst accident ever. You know what accident that was, Mike?
No.
You have an idea?
I do.
Like a garbage truck jumping off of an Empire State Building.
And what happened? When?
It was the worst accident.
I know where you're going with this.
You know where I'm going with this.
I know where this, and I'm ready for this.
My face is just going to go.
And I'm going to go.
We're going to talk about the scariest things we've ever seen on TV, including movies.
Ooh, there's some good stuff out there. I know so many different moments on TV, movies, shows, or whatever.
Can you tell everyone where that was from before we go on?
I can. That was from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That was Large Marge telling the story of the horrible accident to Pee-wee Herman while she's taking him down the road. And he just goes,
Didn't that scare you?
That was one of those moments that you're just like, wait a second. This
you're
is
not
kind
ready
of like a
for
kid's
it,
movie.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. But what was even scarier was when he was at the diner a little bit later and they go, well, how are you talking to Large Marge? She's been dead for 20 years or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God. That's when I was like, holy crap.
I love those scenes, like those kind of movies.
Yeah.
And same thing happened with the Weird Al movie.
Yes.
Where he was like an alien, the guy that was helping him out. I can't remember his name. Tony in the basement might know the name of the character.
Philo.
But at the end, and he says something about he has to go home now or something. And
yep.
All of a sudden, his face goes, claymation or whatever that is. I guess that's claymation.
That would have been claymation at that point, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So that's what this episode's going to be about, the scariest things.
Oh, well, hold on. I got to go get myself some toilet paper because I'm going to scare the crap out of myself.
Oh, no. He just ran to the restroom, folks.
Okay, I'm back.
But, yeah, we're going to talk about movies, TV shows,
mm-hmm.
things that terrified me, things that were just humorous, like that. You know, after you watched it, you jumped and you're scared. I remember the first time my dad introduced us to Carrie the movie.
Wait. Okay, first off, how old were you when he introduced you to it?
I was probably about 12, 13.
Okay, that's a good age.
I mean, I haven't seen it yet, and, we were staying up late, and my cousin, my sister, and I, and it might have just been my sister and I. I know there was girls involved. All of us girls were sitting there, and Dad said, oh, you're going to like this movie. We watched it, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's good. At the very end, he was waiting for it. He knew the hand was going to come out of the ground.
Right.
Spoilers here.
Yeah.
And all of us ended up in his lap. He was like, oh my gosh, and jumped right into Dad's lap. He just loved giving us a good scare.
I think we definitely have to say there are going to be spoilers ahead for possibly some of the movies and shows we're going to talk about. So just be forewarned. Yes, some of them are from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s or whatnot. Be forewarned, you may be spoiled. So we're not going to stop ourselves from talking because we love these scares.
We love scary movies.
Yes, we do. Oh my gosh. I remember vividly one of the first scary movies I ever saw. And to this day, it's still my favorite horror movie of all kind, is actually Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay. I wasn't allowed to watch that as a kid.
I watched that when I was maybe 11 or 12. And I remember vividly when Blockbuster Video started opening up, and I was like maybe 14 or so, my mom went in and signed the paperwork so that I could rent any R-rated film I wanted to. And that's when I started watching horror movies like crazy. Anything and everything I could get my hand on, I would watch. And she would just be like, oh, it's good fun for him. No, it was awesome fun. But rarely did they scare me. But Nightmare on Elm Street scared me.
I think my first... Well, I know there was a couple of scary movies that really affected me as a kid. The first movie that I actually remembered watching that I wasn't supposed to watch was at a neighbor's house, and it was Jaws. And it's not really that bad of a movie. There was one house my mom and dad was watching, and I couldn't have been, I wasn't 10 years old yet. I probably was about six or seven years old. I remember there being a hearse or something in the end of the movie. It was a Saturday night, and I went to bed, and during the night, I guess, you know, parents always stay up later than the kids.
Right.
I remember getting up and screaming out loud, thinking my dad was a monster. And I was like, it's like, it's just your dad. It's just your dad. But at first, maybe it was because he was hairy-chested.
Right.
And he always had a lot of hair on his chest. So maybe I thought he was Bigfoot or something. But I stepped out of the... stepped out of my bedroom, and I was like, oh, my God, it's a monster. And Mama was like, it's only your dad. It's only your dad.
I think I need to go tell Tony in the basement that he married a Bigfoot.
But, yeah, so, I mean, that was pretty scary, but I can't remember what the name of the movie was. I just know it terrified me enough that, you know, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking my dad was a monster.
That almost sounds like the movie Phantasm or something like that.
It might have been. I know there was a hearse in it.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like to me.
So, I mean, maybe it was Phantasm. That's all I remember is a hearse going down the road at one point in the movie.
Or an A-Team episode.
And it was in a, it was, would have been like in the late 70s.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if it was Phantasm, it might have been something my dad would have watched anyways.
Right.
Because my dad was always a sci-fi fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember it terrifying me. And Jaws was the first movie I watched. There goes a...
And that's, like you said, that's kind of tame. It's PG, so it's not terrible. I mean, it's PG before PG-13 came out, so.
I remember wanting to see movies like House when it first came out.
Oh, yes.
And Ghostbusters, which Ghostbusters really isn't scary.
It's got scary moments, but it's not a scary movie.
Yeah.
House is kind of, it's kind of in that same genre. It's got more comedy than scare, but it's got some real scary moments in
it. She wouldn't let me see them, but. For some odd reason, she thought Gremlins looked cute, and she let me go see Gremlins, which I mentioned in another retro talk, that she let me go see Gremlins, which that was pretty scary.
That was a fun movie, though, although there's a lot of great Gremlin kills in that movie, which I love.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever read the book for Gremlins, there's a lot more kills, there's a lot more interesting things happening than what's just in the movie.
Yep. For me, probably one of the scariest things I remember vividly to this day, and I've talked about it before a little bit, is the whole VTV miniseries and everything with the aliens that eat people and stuff.
Yeah.
But one of the scariest moments, not just realizing they eat people, but in the second miniseries, when the one woman or the teenage girl has twins. She has one baby that looks normal, and then she has one baby that looks like a baby lizard. But it gets crazier, and they show it on the episode, on the miniseries. The human baby has a couple of aspects of the reptile where it sticks out a tongue out, like a reptile tongue.
Oh.
And then the reptile baby has blue human eyes.
Wow.
It's really disturbing.
No, I don't know if I mean, I'm sure my dad watched V because, like I said, he was a sci-fi guy. But, I don't know if, and it, I told you before he liked to try to act like he was going to eat a mouse, but I can't remember the show very well as a kid. You know what? Something that really sounds funny that used to scare me, thought it was kind of creepy.
What's that?
Was there was on the Muppet Show, there was a character named the Phantom or something like that.
Yes.
I always thought he looked creepy.
I think that was his shtick.
And I watched, not too long ago, I watched the one with Alice Cooper in it.
Oh, yeah.
Muppets. And some of the Muppets actually are kind of creepy looking if you look at them. They're cool because they're Muppets, but they have... And if you're a little kid watching this, you'd say, oh, that's kind of creepy.
Well, if you look at like Sweetums from the Muppets, you know, he's... If you don't know his character, he looks scary. But when you hear him, he's like, do-do-do-do-do. No, he's not super scary at all. Honestly, Mr. Snuffleupagus probably scared some kids on Sesame Street when you first saw him.
Yeah, when you first saw him.
And actually, he scared the characters, like the human characters, when they saw him for the first time. They're like, he's real.
Whoa. I know one character that was supposed to be scary that never really scared me, and that was the Count. Well, from and I think watching the Count on Sesame Street might have helped me out with storms.
Yeah.
Where it didn't scare me as much after a while.
Right, with the thunder and everything.
Yeah.
You know what he would be doing right now? He'd be like, one scary movie. One scary baby.
And then hear the lightning strike.
There we go. I'll provide our sound effects.
Yeah. But so,
yeah, no.
Oscar actually scared me more than the Count, because Oscar was kind of, he actually had like this mean attitude, and I think that's what kind of made him a little more scarier.
He was definitely like a New Yorker Muppet. That's what he was.
He had grouchy.
Yeah, exactly who he was. I'm trying to think of, there was a couple other great scary moments in movies for me. The V one really stuck out. There was a TV, not made for TV movie, but it was shown on TV for the first time, The Day After. Do you remember that?
Oh, I actually, you're not talking about Day After the movie, right?
No, The Day After. Yeah, the movie itself.
Because I have, I brought a selection, you can ask the guys, I brought a selection of DVDs and of my favorite classic movies, and The Day After is one of them.
That is one of those ones that we saw as kids. I was like 8 years old or so, and it was during the height of the Cold War in the 80s. This is 83, 84, and they're basically saying, this is what's going to happen if we go to nuclear war. And it shows the missiles launching. It shows what happens to people. It shows everything kind of descending into madness. And you're just like, why is this being shown on TV? I remember we had a talk in school the day after, literally the day after.
The day after the day.
About what was happening and what was on the show, because it was, or in the movie, because it was so dark. And it really scared people for a long time. It also helped me realize that there could be nuclear or missile silos everywhere, including, I used to live next to some that were underneath a golf course. Uh-oh, I gave away a national secret. They're going to take me away.
Yeah, I'm going to take you away for a minute anyways. So we're going to talk about a bunch of other horror films.
Ooh.
I mean, I've got like a whole list of them, and I'm a horror fam fanatic. How about you, Mike?
I am a huge horror fan. My first horror convention was like 10 years ago. I got to meet Heather Langenkamp from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay.
And ever since then, every time I can go to one, I go and meet all the different horror actors and whatnot, just because they're so much fun. But the movies themselves are just what's, how can I put it? They're cathartic. You watch them knowing that somebody's going to get killed in a fun way, and you want to enjoy that moment. Plus the slight story that they may try to weave in and out. Sometimes you want mindless, numb fun, like Toxic Avenger. And then sometimes you want something a little more meta, like Scream. So give me any of those in the middle, or anything really crazy like Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, you know, things like that, I'll take any time.
Well, I'm going to give you a list of the songs. I mean, not the songs. The movies I remember as a kid.
To set and the tone, I she has a them. Stack of
I have
DVDs.
A stack of them. All right, so I don't know if you've seen any of these, but let me know, Mike.
All right.
Blood Games, Batter Up.
No, but I sound like I want to see it. I'm imagining people getting killed with a lot of bats.
Yeah, well, actually, what happens in this movie, and it's one of my favorites, these girls are a baseball team, and they go from town to town, and I guess their coach places these bets with the locals.
Okay.
And the girls beat the crap out of this guys, all these guys in this town, and the guys are vengeful and they go after them and end up killing half the girls. And of course, in the end, the girls win. And
of course.
I mean, it's not really a horror movie, but it's definitely one of those ones where there's a lot of blood, a lot of killing.
One thing I have to say about 80s and early 90s films, you don't have CGI effects for a lot of it. So I appreciate the artistry of how they put into a kill. I could talk for hours about the special effects I know about with how they pump blood and things like that and the makeup effects or doing different latex things or whatnot.
Yeah.
That's what I appreciate so much about horror films from that genre.
Yeah, from these, most of these I'm going to read off are from the 80s, so there's no CGI.
Yeah.
There was a lot of nudity.
Well, in these. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Summer Camp Nightmare?
Yes. But I've never seen it.
Actually, if you're a Jim and a Holograms fan.
Yep.
What's her face? Samantha.
Samantha Newark.
Is actually in this.
What?
And she actually does a singing. She has actually a pretty good part in this.
Okay.
She's in it, I would say, probably about 30% of the film.
Okay.
So she's in there even more than that, probably. I'm probably underestimating it. But she's one of the main girls. She's kind of a bad girl at one point.
Of course.
Where she gets mad at her boyfriend on here because, or the guy she likes, because he tries to rape her. Right?
Oh, wow.
And she and a bunch of girls get together and hang the guy.
Yes!
So, I mean, she's actually kind of bad in this one.
Okay.
But she sings in it, too. She's up there singing.
Nice!
And then this is one that never gets old, is when a bunch of animals come after you, like Ben.
Ben, I know a lot about this, right? I've just never seen it. And that's just one of those ones where, yeah, it could happen. Let's be honest. It's kind of like a precursor to, like, M. Night Shyamalan's... the one where the wind kills you or whatever. No, yeah, just no. Give me animals that'll take me out.
Yeah, I mean, there's rats. These are supposed to be rats. There's giant ants, if you've ever watched that movie, yep. Ants, where they start to take over the place. Chemicals make them large.
Yep.
And there's also frogs, where frogs come after you, the movie Frogs from 1971.
That's crazy. I just saw that, actually. That's a crazy movie, actually.
I love animals like that. And even, we can't forget birds.
Oh, birds was Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
You know, hands down, one of the scariest movies ever made.
And
anything
it's a slow lead up to it, too. Yeah. It's crazy. And there's something people probably don't realize is that there's a Birds 2 that never was really a big hit, but I own it at home.
I need to see this. I don't think I've ever seen
it. It's on VHS. I only have it on VHS. I would love to find it on DVD sometime, but it's the second movie. It's
right.
It doesn't even lead into it. It mentions the first movie.
Right.
But there's no characters from the first movie,
oh, man.
I should say. And then there's The Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Which is a classic Christmas horror movie. It's not a normal, like, Halloween or summer camp one. It's a guy who's decided, you know what, it's Christmas time. Let me give everybody the gift of death.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that's, he's mental because he's had a rough childhood. I think that there was some warped things that happened to him as a kid, and he decides that Christmas isn't his holiday, I guess.
And there's also Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, which has one of the greatest meme lines ever.
I think there's actually...
It's garbage day!
Oh, no, I haven't watched that in a while, but you're right, it's pretty good. I think they made like four of those,
they
right?
Did. They four? Did. Four, and then they did a remake in like 2 or 3 years ago.
And then I also like Scanners.
Oh, Scanners makes
I'm
you...
Giving, I'm giving Mike that look while I'm doing it. And his head's shaking. It's gonna blow.
Oh my god, that has a great Michael Ironside acting trope in there. It just, he's awesome in that.
Oh my gosh, he's so terrifying.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't even watch that movie without freaking out. It's so terrifying.
You gotta think about how much mess they had to clean up with that movie too when they were filming.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
just pretty nasty. And I'm gonna talk about another one here. Sometimes They Come Back by Stephen King.
Most Stephen King films are hit or miss. They're based on his great work, but sometimes they're not as good. That's a great one. There's also
Maximum Overdrive.
Yes,
which is
a great movie, but it is just cheesy.
That movie there, though, Maximum Overdrive, actually terrified me when the first time I watched it. I was nervous to even get in our family car for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
After that, I was like, could our cars really come to life and start running us down?
I did actually get a picture with that big goblin mask that somebody restored at a convention one time, and I still have it. It's one of those cool pictures of like, okay, this is actual movie history that I'm touching right now. I'm going to pick its nose.
And talk about robotic things, mechanical things. Here's an interesting one called Deadly Friend.
Deadly Friend, I'm looking for a copy to be able to watch at some point because it's Christy Swanson in one of her first movie roles, and it has the infamous head-crushing scene in it.
Yeah, and it actually, it's a kid that makes a robot.
Yep.
And he's friends with a neighbor girl that gets abused all the time. And I believe it's her father, stepfather. Someone does something to kill her, right?
Yep.
And he takes the brain of the robot and puts it in her like that would ever happen. And it brings her to life, but now she's kind of like that robot mind in her. And she becomes very deadly.
It's so good, though.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, I could. Movies like that are a nice little trip on different things.
She goes like this, Mike. Beep, 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 beep.
You know what's another scary moment, too? Superman 3, when that lady gets sucked into the computer.
Oh, and they start like throwing everything.
And at my, when I see it first time, I'm thinking, are they making Brainiac? No, it's just some random computer woman.
Yeah, but you know what? I really felt bad for her, though. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, sure, she wasn't the greatest person to be around, but when you saw this happening to her, you're just like, oh, crap.
Right.
Here it comes.
And you're thinking, is she going to actually take out Superman? No, you can't take out Superman. That's also when we saw evil Superman, quote unquote, bizarro Superman.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And that was scary to see, like, Superman being mean to a kid. Like, it was not cool to see. And you were like, oh, is this the end of Superman? Like, if you're like, you know, 5 years old.
I don't know if it ever got the ratings like the second movie or the first one did, but it definitely had its moments.
It had its moments, but it also had Richard Pryor in it. Not knocking Richard Pryor, but I think it was too much comedy and less action than it needed to be.
Yeah, so, but moments and then by the like time that, the fourth one came around, I was like, forget it. You know?
Oh, well.
I mean, I still watch the fourth one, but the third one really had its moments.
The third one, the first two are great. That's another scary moment, too, when Lex Luthor in the first movie launches nuclear missiles and takes out part of California.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, oh, wait, did they just kill a main character? And there goes Lois Lane. She's dead. So Superman has to save the Earth and save her.
Yeah, when he gets mad and goes, ah, you know, whenever he finds her.
Oh, my gosh. And then he just takes off and he goes against his dad in the sky.
He just decides, all right, I think of that as more of a tantrum. He gets mad, screams, and then just starts going around the world like, oh, right.
Yeah.
So it might have been an anger fit at first, and it's like, oh, this is working. Maybe I can go back in time and save her.
Yeah. No. Oh, my gosh.
But we're going to take a quick break. Remember the music? Remember the movies? Remember the cars, the fashions, the news, the things that stood out during our youth? It's okay to be nerdy. Join me as I reminisce over the cartoons, the toys, and the video games of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Turn back the clock with Retro Talk.
Weekends on 98.5 XPM's Million Dollar Weekend Lineup.
Welcome back to Retro Talk at 98.5 The Phoenix. Uh-oh, there goes the bird flying away. Okay, well, you know, so we talked about, go on.
I was going to say, speaking about fire, we just talked about the day after where everything was on fire.
Yeah, okay. Talking about Killer Clowns. Such a great film. A couple years ago, I wore one of the shorties masks to work.
No.
Yes.
No.
I didn't know my supervisor had this thing against clowns. You know, everybody's afraid of something. So I wore it to work, and he has a cubicle where he gets in there, and no one can see him unless you go in the doorway there. And I came in there and peeked my head around, and he was like, "No, no," freaking out. But the whole day I was walking around with shorty's mask on, people wanting to get pictures and everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun.
You're evil, Rose. I love it. I love a little bit of evil.
I said I wanted to come in as a wicked witch one year, and he was like, no. So I came in as a killer clown instead.
What you need to do is do the green makeup then if you can do Wicked Witch at some point. Do the full Wicked Witch.
Oh, I've done the green makeup before.
I could see that.
It's been a few years ago. When that Oz movie came out, when that first came out, I did the whole green makeup and everything, the black dress, and I had little kids coming up wanting to get pictures.
Oh, wow. Well, you have another chance later this year.
Yeah.
Wicked comes out, so.
Yeah, I know. That's a great movie. If I can still fit into the dress.
That's its own horror story, folks. I don't know.
Yeah. So we're not going to... We can still talk about horror movies. And as we were talking when we were off here, you said you went and seen some in the movie theaters. I never did, but I'd love to hear which ones you went and seen.
So the first R-rated film I actually ever saw in a theater, I remember vividly, was actually not quite a horror film, but did have fun scares and horror, was The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger and... Richard Dawson, yes, as doing himself,
that
basically.
That was Connor in the basement.
Yeah, Connor's hanging out in the basement with Tony here. So that was just fun because it had a lot of great kills in it. And then after that, maybe just a couple years later, I actually saw Army of Darkness from Bruce Campbell and the Evil Dead series. It was one of the first movies I'm like, I'm old enough. I wasn't technically old enough to see Running Man by myself in the theater, but I was able to see Army of Darkness by myself in the theater, and it was more comedy than horror, but it was so much fun to actually just walk into a theater, watch a horror, quote, film on there. And then a couple years later, I started seeing all the Scream movies, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and it's fun to sit in the audience with the jump scares that happen. But I think by far the most favorite experience I ever had seeing a horror movie in the theater was 2003, sitting in the theater. I was with my friend Marco, and we watched Freddy versus Jason. Like, this thing that's been building up for decades, and we were in the theater watching it, and every scare, every jump, you heard the audience going crazy. And it wasn't...
I love the reaction to the audiences, because nowadays, since COVID, you don't see that crowd in a theater anymore like you used to.
You really don't. You know, a lot of movies would promote by showing things paranormal and things like that, the reactions of the audience before they did it. They even did it. There's a great video on YouTube where they see people coming out of the movie theater after seeing Alien with their kids. And they talk about it being, we're going to take our kids to see this movie because this could happen in real life. And we got to make sure that they're not scared.
I saw that YouTube video too. That's crazy.
No. So... but I got to experience that with Freddy versus Jason, and it wasn't so much people were scared. They were cheering the kills.
Yeah, I mean,
because
I've watched some newer ones. I didn't watch them as a kid, but I did watch, like, when I was a teenager, like late teens, early 20s, we'd go to the drive-in.
Okay.
And I remember it wasn't really scary, but I watched Terminator 2,
had some
Ghostbusters 2. It had some scary moments.
Yeah.
Not more humorous. It's Ghostbusters is funny.
Right. Well, with Terminator 2, you had the guy coming, the T2 coming out of the, or T-1000 coming out of the floor and looking at his twin, quote unquote.
You know what?
And the eye poke was
the scariest thing for me.
Yeah.
Watching at the drive-in. So I guess it wasn't really meant to be scary. It's more of a sci-fi.
Uh-huh.
RoboCop.
Yeah.
When I watched that movie, because we did watch that at the drive-in.
Right.
My thought, bad thought, this is going to be a great show for the kids and stuff. And, you know, I was a teenager at the time, so it wasn't too bad. But when he gets all shot up, that's kind of freaky. And, it, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, I wanted to cover my eyes because, you know, here's RoboCop, you know, Murphy getting all shot up and everything. That was creepy. But the acid scene freaked me out.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I wasn't ready for that acid scene.
The it's me, guys, and then he can't walk around and his friend hits him with the car.
Yeah, I know, and then he just goes splatter all over the place. That movie did freak me out as a teenager watching that.
That's definitely a good mix of sci-fi and horror all in one. It does a great job. Plus, it's just commentary on advertising alone. So, I mean,
I would buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar. Yeah. I'd buy this show for a dollar. That's what I would do. So,
that was a great movie, and that was a little shocking. Some of the things that my dad wasn't even knowing we're going to see that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, that's the great thing about some of the movies back in the day. You didn't know what was coming up. You couldn't go up on YouTube or on Google or anything. You couldn't search a movie database and see anything about the movie before it came out. You just experienced it.
Yeah.
That was a big, big part of that, of our time back then. Even if it had been 2 years since the movie came out, you couldn't necessarily know what would happen unless you talked to the movie store guy or you rented it and go, I'm going to watch this. Oh, this movie looks fun. It's a doctor and he's got this green goo he's going to put in somebody and he's going to help them out. And all of a sudden, it's Reanimator and you see him animating dead corpses. What the heck's going on?
You know, one movie that always freaked me out too was, and I'm positive I probably did see that at the drive-in too, was Pet Sematary.
Ooh.
At the very, very end, I mean, it was creepy when you knew Gage was going to show up. The scariest scene for me was where he cuts Judge Crandall's mouth open.
Yes.
That was creepy. And then when the mother comes in and her eyes, oh my gosh.
That's Denise Crosby.
Those are some creepy moments.
Yep. I just love the little kid.
Scenes that you didn't know was coming.
I love little Gage, and he's like, you play no fair. You play no fair.
No fair. No, no fair. No fair.
But
they, no fair that Michael gets to talk more than me. No fair.
No fair. Oh, I could watch that movie over and over again.
He was actually just a couple weeks ago, Tony and I, was last week we were at a toy show and we saw him in a distance. And I guess he's got dark hair. I don't know if it was dyed blonde or if it just went dark or he colored it dark now.
Right.
But I saw him off in a distance, the kid that played Gage.
Oh, man.
But That was
a Stephen King film.
That was
done
kind
right.
of creepy. That was a creepy movie.
You know what's also creepy movies, too? Creepshow and Creepshow 2. That are anthology movies, and they're horror films that have so many little mini stories in them.
Yeah, and The Raft.
Yes.
Speaking of that, I actually listened to the audiobook of that recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than what is in that. But those are great, too.
Yeah.
And mentioning that, I've got to say, thanks for the ride, Mike. Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, Mike. Oh, man. Yes, that's some good stuff. You know what's also a great anthology movie? Stephen King's Cat's Eye with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
As like the kind of connective tissue with the cat and everything.
I kind of felt sorry for the kitty cat.
Yeah.
The cat went through so much.
But you know what? Got the little goblin thing at the end that would suck the soul out of the little girl.
Yeah. And I actually like that too. Wasn't that the one with Scatman Crothers?
Yes, it was actually. He was on the radio DJ and everything.
Now, am I thinking the Twilight Zone movie? It's the one where he, no, it must be the Twilight Zone movie. It's the one where he goes to the old folks' home.
Oh, yeah.
Makes them young.
Yes.
That wasn't the Cat's Eye, though, right?
That was Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone, yeah. But they were both kind of like that, where they had mini stories.
Yeah, and I love that sort of thing. And they have a little bit of a connective tissue to it or everything. Or, like, when you have, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, the third, fourth, and fifth movies together make their own little trilogy of a story with the same characters kind of throughout and everything. I love Dream Warriors.
Yeah, I showed you this.
Yeah.
I have the DVD of that. And I loved Dream Master,
which was the follow-up for that.
Yeah. Which was great. And if you notice that the next three films, like they had Dream Warriors, Dream Master,
and Dream Child,
they were all connected.
Yep. And then at the end, that was the quote end of Freddy. And then they did Nightmare or number 7, which was Freddy's Dead, and that was the quote end of Freddy. But I think their best scary moments came in the first film. And then Nightmare on Elm Street, but not Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven's New Nightmare,
where it was the meta. I watched that. I do like that one, too. But if we want to talk about scariest, I'm going to go back to Dream Warriors, where the kid does the man, where he makes the puppets, and he makes a puppet out of the kid. I always thought that was kind of creepy with his blood veins.
Yeah, that was a great effect.
Spoilers here, if you guys...
When he's doing the veins, and you see it out of his hands, but also his feet.
Yeah.
That's the one that hurts me.
That is such creepy. That is such a creepy scene. I have to say that's probably one of my creepiest kills for Freddy. What's your creepiest?
For Freddy, that one's probably up there. I do enjoy a good funny one more than anything. And my personal favorite is same movie. The girl's watching TV. She sees Merv Griffin talking to Zsa Zsa Gabor. And all of a sudden, Merv Griffin gets Freddy Krueger's voice, and like, it's time to die. And he kills her off screen. The girl walks up. Freddy pops out of TV, and he just grabs her with robotic arms and goes, welcome to prime time, B. And I'm not going to say that word. And just tosses her head into the TV.
You know, some of my favorite kills for Freddy.
Yeah.
One of them is the Nintendo one.
Yes.
Where he's got the kid like... playing Nintendo. He's like, doink, 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 you know, bouncing around like he's in a Mario game.
Yep.
That one's a great kill.
And it ends with, now I'm playing with, or no, I'm going to use
now
my own
I'm
power
playing
glove.
With power. Yeah, he puts the power. That is an awesome kill. And I'm trying to remember that other one that I loved. Oh, the one where the comic book kid.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of nerdy ones.
Yep.
And I like the one that from Dream Warriors where he was like the wizard.
Yes.
And he gets up out of his wheelchair and becomes the wizard. It kind of reminds me of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
What, Presto?
Yep.
He kind of reminds me of Presto.
Well, what's the saddest kill, I think, in all of them? Again, Dream Warriors is probably far like one of the pinnacle of the series, I think, as far as kills and comedy and everything. But the girl who was completely off drugs for like a year or whatever. She's in the
house.
Oh,
yeah.
But then Freddy goes, he in her dream, pulls up, and all his fingers actually have like the needles. And she goes, let's get high. And her arms have the little succulars on them. And he kills her that way.
That's horrible. That's
a genius kill there, but so sad.
We've talked about movies. We talked about things that scared us that way. How about TV shows?
There were a lot of TV shows. I mentioned before, like the V miniseries and things like that. But there are a lot of great shows, like Tales from the Dark Side, which was one of those anthology series, where it had just a really spooky intro to its show. Uh-huh. There was a Friday the 13th TV series.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
They did a lot of different things. But of course, the classic that started it all really was Twilight Zone. Like the original TV series had a lot of great scary moments, even in black and white back in the day.
There is actually a couple of scary Twilight Zones I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, this guy becomes like a showpiece, like an animal in a zoo.
Yes.
That is kind of creepy, where there's characters, the aliens are watching him through a glass. He has like a glass home. Inside, and he's in a regular home, and people are watching him.
Yep.
That's creepy, and it's supposed to be creepy, but it's funny. About the guy that goes to the casino.
Oh, yeah.
And the slot machine starts chasing him around saying, Franklin.
The two that really stick out to me from just that series alone are, number one, the person who you only see covered in bandages on their face and everything. They're in a hospital, but you never see the nurses or doctors in, because they're all in shadow. And they're like, we're going to fix you over your face. We're going to see if the operation helped you. And then they start taking it off, and they take it off, and she's this like beautiful woman by our standards.
Yeah.
But then when they show the doctors, they've got these mangled looking faces and things like that, and they look super, to our standards, ugly and things like that. But they're not. That's just their norm.
Yeah. So it didn't work.
Right. It didn't work. She's quote beautiful for our standards, but ugly to them. So they put her in a room with like this kind of handsome guy, and we're gonna send you off to this retreat. The other one that really scares me is, it probably stems back from the whole V thing too, is they have these aliens that come down and show us how to solve cancer, solve all these diseases and everything, makes everything better. And then we're going to take you up to our planet and we're going to, you know, cook for you and everything. But no, the cookbook they start reading is not a cookbook of how to cook for people. It's how to cook people.
Oh no, this was a Twilight Zone.
That was a Twilight Zone twist ending.
I remember the one you mentioned with the face thing, but I don't remember that one.
So things like that really just got me as a kid. And then there were like specials too. Like there were different Halloween specials and whatnot out there. Tony in the basement, you know, we were talking down the break there about a Garfield special that was just a little bit creepy at the time, where he was being chased around and spooked at and everything, and kids were like, no, not Garfield. No.
Yeah, I seem to remember that where he's running around, but I can't remember the episode too well. I do remember the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown episode.
You know what? That was almost
not
sad.
Not really scary, no, but it was Halloween.
It was scary to a point. I mean, Lucy's mask was scary, let's be honest.
Well, Lucy's always kind of scary.
She is.
I mean, the way she treats Charlie Brown. But she was always my favorite character for some reason or another.
I could see you wearing a blue dress from time to time.
Yeah,
and scaring people.
I loved Lucy, actually. I never liked the brunettes. I mean, the blondes. I've always liked the brunettes. So I wasn't a Sally fan. I was more of a Lucy fan.
What we need to do is get you dressed as Lucy and our friend Brian dressed as Charlie Brown and reenact a football scene one time.
Are you
going
to be Linus?
I could do Linus. I'll
carry
get a blue
your
blanket.
Blanket.
Yeah, I'll get my blankie.
Well, let Tony be Schroeder where you can play the piano.
So yeah, there's a lot of just TV series and shows and such that have their own thing. Another great series that I remember as a kid was Amazing Stories, a Steven Spielberg show.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of great sci-fi, but also scary ones. One in particular to me was one with Rhea Perlman and Danny DeVito, and a rare kind of role where they both were in it together as a couple who got this like rich check or whatever, but one of them had to die to get it. So they started scheming with themselves in this like little apartment of how they were going to kill each other throughout the entire thing. And then at the end, I believe they just lost the check, so they still lived with each other, but knowing they were going to kill each other.
I actually, Tony watched a lot of those. I haven't watched many of those. I will tell you a show, or it might have been a movie. My mom and dad was watching it on TV one time with my uncle that terrified me.
What's that?
Faces of Death.
Oh, wow.
Now, that was a show, when you're a teenager, don't watch it. It scared me to death.
Did it now?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It scared me. Have you ever watched that?
I remember it slightly. It might be.
I mean, it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. It was, right. It was really scary. Just like The Day After that you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
Those were the type of films you probably shouldn't have watched as a kid.
No. And there was just so many different things out there that I enjoyed. I enjoy a good scare. I think it's good and cathartic for yourself to get a good scare as a kid, as an adult. You want.
I mean, when they're serious films, like, yeah, they scare you because they're like almost like real. But if you watch one where Jason's like, there's a scene where Jason, there's this handicapped guy in the third movie where he took the machete and the wheelchair goes all the way down the steps, like boom, 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 waiting for it, waiting for it to happen.
Yep.
You know, there's scenes like stuff like that that's fun, but then there's other things that you've watched on TV that just terrify you.
Right.
You know?
Oh, man, there was one other thing that really caught me off guard on TV at one point. Actually, it was animated. It was G.I. Joe, the movie, where you saw the snake go through Cobra. Duke's heart.
Oh, yeah.
And you actually see, like, blood splurt out. And as a kid, that's kind of traumatizing.
Well, I tell you, traumatizing is the first time I ever watched Transformers the movie.
Right.
I was in the movie theater, and when I saw, you know, the shuttle scene where the Autobots start falling.
Yeah.
I looked at my sister with my mouth dropped open, like, what's going on here? You know, we both were, like, in shock.
And then Ironhide gets the head shot, and that's
it. Yeah, and I was like, this is strong, you know?
Right.
And I was, like, almost old enough to drive. Showing my age here. almost old enough to drive. And I was like, this is intense.
You know, and that just goes to show that you can be scared by something that's not necessarily horror or anything like that. It can be something that just really sticks with you, even as a kid or as an adult or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of TV shows now, you know, whether it be a medical dramas, things like that, like ER or Grey's Anatomy or whatever, they'll have stuff like that too that will be like really scary with a lot of blood or whatnot. There are episodes of Law and Order that I used to watch a lot of, and they have moments where you're just like, holy moly, this is really scary stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's more real life.
I think that was the same way for me, like with the movie 2012.
Yeah.
When I watched that the first time, it was like, you know, Tony's always tried to say, don't worry about that kind of stuff. But I would worry about any kind of thing like that. When Y2K happened, which could be a whole new episode in itself, when that happened, I worried myself sick that my computer would go down.
That's when you're going to get a deadly friend at that point.
Yeah.
And Christy Swanson's going to come after
you. Because I worried about everything. Wow. And I know we're getting close to the end of an episode, so I really want to have some closing scenes.
Okay.
Is there anything you want to talk about before we end this episode?
Honestly, I think what we need to ask people out there is, and I would love to know, is what's your answer to the greatest debate in horror movie history ever? Jason versus Freddy versus Ash. Who would win in a three-way fight? That's what I want to know. Personally, I go for Ash, but that's just me.
I do want to know what people think of the show so far. If you'd like to message the website, get in there, give your feedback. We're planning on going live eventually. We would love to have callers in. So please keep us updated. Let us know what you think. What would you like to talk about? Different things like that. And you can go to WXPM985@gmail.com. Write in and say what you'd like to hear, what you'd like to talk about. How are we doing?
We would love to know what you think about the show and if there's anything else you'd like us to talk about from the retro memories that you might have.
And can you give the email one more time?
I sure can. It is WXPM985@gmail.com.
And I want everyone to keep on listening to the Phoenix.
98.5 WXPM 98.5. Here in Phoenixville, PA, and online through this link on the site as well. We want to talk horror. We want to talk 80s. We want to talk retro with you.
We want to talk anything you want to talk about, as long as it's fun. And for now, we're going to say that's it for the week. This is Rose with Retro Talk.
This is the Bro Show, Michael, and be sure to check us back out here in the same bat time, same bat channel.
See you next week.
Come sponsor Retro Talk, where your support keeps us on the air. If you want more information, send an email to wxpm985@gmail.com and we'll send you our brochure.
You've been listening to
Retro Talk with Retro Rose
here on
98.5 WXPM.
Be back next week, same time, same channel.